Hello and welcome everyone. I am Suruchi Joshi Singh from PwC and I'll be facilitating today's session. So this session has two parts and we'll try to limit the presentations to 15 minutes each so that we have some time for audience questions. The first session, Evelyn Chow and Jessica Egan from Taylor Fry address the question, are you climate proof? Evelyn has over 20 years of experience in general insurance, and Jessica has been working with Taylor Fry since 2011. Both share a passion for the environment. So without further ado, let's hear it from them. Thanks.
Are you climate proof? Jess and I think that this is an interesting question to ask the general insurance industry to see what they have been doing about this topic on climate change. How did we go about doing it? We conducted a survey. We collated the results and we did a qualitative assessment to find out where the general insurance industry is at. We asked about the perception of companies, about their views on climate change or global warming. We asked them about what their views are in terms of the potential impact of climate change and whether they are doing anything about it. How they're investigating the impact of climate change and whether they see any risks and opportunities that entail climate change. Oh, there it is. The survey was sent to 58 companies, and of those 58 companies, 52 of them are APRA-licensed general insurance companies. Some of them also hold multiple licences. And six public insurers. Altogether, 26 companies participated, and they are made up of four reinsurance companies, 19 direct insurers, and three public insurers. For participants from the private sector, they made up 70% of the APRA-licensed general insurance market, in terms of net earned premium based on APRA stats as at 31 December 2011. The private insurers are roughly evenly split by size, as small, medium and large insurers. We also categorise them by foreign-owned companies and locally-owned companies. And they are split 50-50. For foreign-owned companies, some of their responses are necessarily based on their corporate positions. And as far as possible, we have focused on what they are doing in the Australian environment. So we collated the 26 responses, and Jess will now show you what we found out about companies' views. And later on, I'll take you through what findings we have about what companies are doing.
Considering companies' views, we found that 65% of insurers are taking a formal affirmative stance on climate change, and that 77%, even more, are taking some form of action in regards to climate change, either reacting to an increased frequency and severity of weather events or preparing for those to come. Of the eight companies with no formal stance on climate change, half of them are still taking some form of action. We had a closer look at how the stance of the insurers and their level of action might be related to their size or nature, and found that all reinsurers and government insurers that responded affirm climate change, whereas the private insurers that dominated our study were split in their opinions. Larger companies all take an affirmative stance on climate change, whereas mid-sized companies were split in their opinions. Smaller insurers gave very varied responses, but with fewer employees, there is the question of how much their responses were influenced by personal opinion. Thank you. Three in four of the companies that affirm climate change is affecting weather events, and this is regardless of what their stance was. and they affirm that it's affecting climate change, that climate change is affecting weather events in the form of higher frequency and severity. However, the natural variability of weather patterns made it difficult for many insurers to isolate any specific impact from climate change. Some of the companies who affirm climate change also concluded that there was no impact on weather events based on current research. The most impacted portfolio was property by far, followed by motor, and the most cited perils in Australia are windstorms and hail. These are followed by storm surges, floods, cyclones and bushfires. Areas of most concern were low-lying and coastal areas, in particular for the marine portfolio. But a few insurers have started to consider the impact on the professional indemnity and combined liability classes. We were also interested in whether companies did or did not have someone responsible for overseeing climate change decisions, and the majority do, at 73%, have someone in charge. We further classified this into companies with a multidisciplinary approach, which is half of all companies, or companies with a specific person in charge. In the case of a specific person, they were always small companies. In the multidisciplinary approach, it was usually somebody at the sea level overseeing decisions made by underwriters, reinsurers, actuaries, and so on. Some of the larger companies also had a dedicated sustainability officer or unit to oversee research on climate change and strategies. These setups also involved a more complicated multidisciplinary reporting structure. It was also interesting to note that some of the companies with no formal stance on climate change still had someone overseeing issues related to climate change. I'll pass you back to Evelyn now.
When it comes to looking at what companies are what they're doing to prepare themselves for climate change, only 50% of them are saying that they've got specific climate change measures that they are using, and that's represented by the green bar in the diagram. For the other 23% who indicated that they have got some measures, we have classified them as having a business as usual approach. What do we mean by that? Business as usual, these companies have operations that are mostly unchanged, but they are continually monitoring the impact of climate change, and they've got a set of measures that they're quite ready to use when the time comes. For the companies which has got climate change specific measures, they either have already introduced or in the process of introducing these measures. So that left the 27% of companies who have got no measures. These companies, when we look a little bit closer, they are companies that are niche companies and they don't see a need to address climate change risks. So what are these measures that companies are using? And we found that few companies are actually introducing new climate change specific capabilities. As you can see on the graph, these are the top six measures collected from our survey responses. At the top of the list is managing geographical accumulation or diversification, closely followed by expanding or reducing coverage. The third measure is pricing, so they can alter the pricing structures to better reflect the risks. And the fourth one is tightening terms and conditions. For equal fifth, they are support and advocate adaptation and mitigation of activities and developing other capabilities. What we notice is the top four measures are primarily policy-based or underwriting-based measures. They are traditionally used by insurance companies to manage their risk exposures. And it's not really until you come to the fifth, those equal fifth measures, that you actually see that people are specifically targeting climate change. So some of the examples that were given, the more interesting ones, companies might develop strategies in conjunction with their customers to mitigate the impact of climate change. Another example is to get ready for the increase in frequency and severity of extreme events, they have set up formal event response plans, or beefing up their risk management capabilities, or building internal capabilities in specialised areas like engineering. So how do companies carry out their investigations to manage the potential impact of climate change on their risk exposures? We found that 31% of companies said that they don't do any investigations in relation to climate change. The other 69% indicated that they are doing some form of investigations. We found that 42% of them are doing climate change-specific analysis, and the other 23% have got a business-as-usual approach. So what do we mean by business-as-usual approach? These companies see risk analysis as very much part of their normal day-to-day operations, and they don't see a need to isolate climate change risk for analysis. As for climate change-specific companies, they have specific analysis, either to investigate what the risk exposures are towards certain types of peril, or they might investigate what are the effects of climate change on certain perils. What they do is they normally have either an in-house research team or an external party, for example, a university or a scientific institution, to help them do the study. And normally the results of this study would be integrated into their underwriting. There's also examples of companies using the reinsurance broker by directing them to specifically model climate change, integrate climate change effects into their CAT modelling. We went on to ask companies whether they are considering any emerging risks that are known property lines of that are not affecting. We went on to ask companies whether they are considering any emerging risks related to climate change in non-property lines of business. Not many of them are doing it. Only 35% of companies have given a view as to what emerging risks could be. And of them, most of them are foreign-owned companies. The number of foreign-owned companies are more than three times as many as locally-owned companies who gave a response to this question. And the top two emerging risks identified are environmental liabilities and D&O liabilities, and they are mostly related to litigation and compliance risks. The other emerging risks being identified, ones that I think is really pertinent is you need to have an effective business continuity plan for your own operations for insurance companies when disaster strikes. Another good example was for companies that write that also write non-property and casualty classes of business, for example, like life insurance or health insurance, they need to investigate the potential impact of climate change on mortality or morbidity risks. So now that we have covered the aspects of the impact of climate change on businesses, we move on to ask companies whether they are currently offering any climate change-related products and services. And very few companies do. And again, you can see that foreign-owned companies tend to be higher in proportion than the locally owned insurance companies. And these observations are not surprising because for the foreign-owned insurance companies, they tend to be multinationals and have got a global presence. They're a little bit more ahead in the thinking and their activities when it comes to the topic of climate change. We've got some pretty interesting responses on products and services, and we sort of broadly group them into three different types. The first one is specific policy features on existing products. The examples are green product replacement on loss or using green building materials to rebuild. Another example is to provide incentives or subsidy to install low emissions appliances, even though these appliances might not be in existence before loss. I'll go to the next group, which is new products. There are some pretty exciting things happening there. One example is the introduction of carbon sink insurance a few months ago to the Australian market. This insurance product is introduced in response to the carbon farming initiative as part of the carbon pricing mechanism. And the product is targeted to the forestry industry. As for services, Jess and I were really excited about some examples of what's being used in the innovative use of technologies. One of the examples that was given to us was the use of remote sensing technology. Remote sensing technology to expedite claims assessment. Because very often when an extreme event happens, claims staff might not be able to access the site for quite a long time. So this sort of helps them being able to assess the losses very quickly. Another example that we found was the use of mobile phone apps by motor insurance company warning the motor the policyholder that a hailstorm is approaching and they should move their car to somewhere that's undercover. So what other opportunities are companies might be thinking about? We found that the proportion of companies that are now considering further opportunities are much higher than the previous slides. And in addition to the examples that were given in the previous slides, there are other things that companies are considering. The more interesting ones are the new products that they've been considering for renewable energies, and also property performance warranty covers for energy production for wind farms or solar farms. Some companies also consider that this is an opportunity for them to be involved in public policy discussion and promote environmental friendly behaviours. And the last example that I would like to talk about is the new investment opportunities because there's new assets being available for investments. So to summarise our findings, most companies have a view that climate change is happening and it is affecting weather events. Most companies have some measures in place to deal with climate risks. Few are building specific capabilities. Most companies are analysing the impact of climate change to a certain extent, and some are now considering emerging risks on their portfolios. Some companies have introduced a number of climate change-related products and services, and more are considering opportunities.
Thank you very much for that presentation. Are there any questions? There's a mic in the centre, or otherwise I'm happy to walk with that mic to anyone who has questions.
Right, so then we'll just proceed. Oh, hi.
I'm interested in what sort of niche companies.
All right, they tend to be either quite small insurers or monolines insurers, like PI insurers, that they don't see any immediate impact on their portfolio due to climate change.
Any other questions?
Martin Fry from Taylor Fry. Did you notice any material difference between the reinsurers and the direct insurers in terms of their level of interest in responding, firstly, and in terms of their knowledge?
Yeah, definitely. I guess mainly because all the reinsurers who have responded are foreign-owned companies. There's none that's locally owned reinsurers, well, I mean, obviously. And they have very, very detailed answers and responses to the questions. And it's amazing the sort of things that they are doing. But because I try to focus on just what they're doing in this market, so I didn't put in those examples. But yes, they are very much well ahead of leading the pack, basically, in the current thoughts.
Thank you very much. And now we have... Oh, there's one more question. That's good.
Was there any, do you think there could be any bias between the people who didn't answer the questions? They would probably be the ones who don't care about climate change? The companies that didn't answer.
That didn't answer.
Yeah.
I did have a few responses declining to participate, mainly for the reason that you're saying, that they either don't really have a formal stance and they don't feel comfortable answering the questions. But there are only a few of them. The number of responses were... I actually thought that it was quite overwhelming with the information that we were provided. And it actually takes a lot of time to try and consolidate into something that's meaningful.
But could there be... some of your statistics have things like 75% believe in climate change, things like that. Could it be the insurers that didn't answer actually the ones who don't?
No, actually, surprisingly, the ones who stated that they don't have a formal stance, they do believe in climate change, and it's really only just one company out of 26 who formally just said no, they don't believe in climate change. So I think it's a common... view that climate change is happening.
Okay. Thank you very much, Evelyn and Jessica. I would just like to remind people that there's a